Chapter 7. As he had warned, Kim Dokja knocked on the bedroom doors, an hour later on the dot. Rise and shine! Time to pretend you're all functional human beings. Groans rose from Lee Ji-hae's room, followed by a litany of curses from Kim Namun. Something heavy fell. Yoo Jin-hyuk was the first to yank his door open. He was wearing a clean shirt and slacks, but his hair was messy and his eyes bloodshot as he glared at Kim Dokja.
No need to yell, he hissed.
His usually perfect complexion had wilted. Kim Dokja offered him coffee. Yoo Jin-hyuk eyed his petty smile and the to-go cup with equal degrees of prejudice. After some internal debate, he took the drink. His shoulder knocked none too gently into Kim Dokja's as he moved past him. The team eventually gathered, bleary-eyed and grumpy. They guzzled down the caffeine Kim Dokja had fetched for them. While they came back to life, Kim Dokja closed his laptop and secured it in his satchel.
How are you so cheery, Ajisi?
Lee Ji-hae complained, disgusted.
Did you even sleep?
No.
He had used the time to answer his emails and make some last-minute preparations.
No, Lee Hyun-sung repeated.
I've found I usually feel worse if I sleep just a bit than if I pull an all-nighter. He smiled. It's fine, I'll just crash this evening.
Man, I should have tried that,
said Kim Namun, collapsed in one of the armchairs. Yoo Jin-hyuk transferred his glare from Kim Dokja to him.
Don't take advice from that guy and his trash habits.
What's the matter, Yoo Jin-hyuk? Bitter that your athlete lifestyle and strict sleep schedule are failing you today? Lee Ji-hae must have been really tired because she snorted out a laugh before she could catch herself.
Captain, can you handle seeing that woman again today?
Kim Namun said, irreverently jovial.
Or are you going to kill her? I could help you hide the body.
Kim Dokja cringed. But while Yoo Jin-hyuk's face soured, his murderous vibe stayed in check.
It's fine, Yoo Jin-hyuk said, and binned his empty cup. Let's go.
Lunch went fine. Thankfully, they weren't sat at the same table as Zarathustra. There were a lot of introductions and small talk. Yoo Jin-hyuk, Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Namun caught up with the gamers they knew from other countries. Kim Dokja distributed more of his business cards than he had ever done while he was in QA. That was ironic, considering that some of the people from Minosoft he met that day were important enough to have featured in the company-wide emails he used to receive. Of course, not a single one of them had any idea that he had once worked for them. After that, the actual professional gamers were given a tour of Minosoft's facilities. Meanwhile, the managers were taken aside to discuss everyone's schedule for the next few days. Kim Dokja frowned at the packet he'd been given. While others were talking, he pulled out his phone under the table. You've got a joint interview with Anna Croft planned for the day after tomorrow. Am I kicking up a fuss? He waited, tapping the phone against his thigh. The reply came a few minutes later.
No, just give them what they want. Let them ask.
On the other side of the table, Selena Kim gave Kim Dokja an embarrassed smile.
It's easy to guess what those journalists are trying to pull, Kim Dokja grumbled. There's no reason to put the leaders of two competitive teams in one room unless they plan to ask you about you leaving Zarathustra. It's not the first time they've tried.
Which just means they should know better. Kim Dokja ducked behind Yoo Jin-hyuk to avoid an aggressive shopper going the other way. So far, he wasn't liking Canadian shopping malls much. Aware that a lot of their guests were battling with jet lag, Minosoft's organizers had magnanimously released them in the afternoon. Most of the gamers had decided to gather in groups at their hotel, or at venues near Minosoft HQ. Lee Hyun-sung had wanted to go. Lee Ji-hae and Kim Namun had, of course, chosen to follow, since Toronto's drinking age was 19. Just as obviously, Yoo Jung-hyuk had snubbed the gatherings. He was more eager to get groceries for their stay than socialize, so here the two of them were, in the temple of capitalism. "What?" Kim Dokja said, noticing that Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes were on him. "You're angrier about this than me." "Annoyed," Kim Dokja corrected. "I'm annoyed. If it goes badly, I'm the one who's going to get scolded back home." Yoo Jung-hyuk hummed. He stopped in the middle of the mall. "What now?" Kim Dokja said. The entrance to the supermarket was in sight. Kim Dokja glanced warily around, on the lookout for Toronto denizens ready to ram into them with their shopping carts for just standing there.
"Let's get coffee."
Startled, he followed Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes. Huh, Starbucks really were everywhere.
"You mean..."
"We haven't had our weekly meeting yet,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, already striding that way. This guy was so weird about that. They had only had two of those weekly meetings so far, and they had just ended up talking about work. There was no need to make a fuss about them. Still, Kim Dokja could do with some caffeine, if he had to get out in a few hours to help Lee Hyun-sung wrangle their two youngsters back to the apartment. "Isn't it weird to say, let's get coffee, when you aren't going to get anything?" he still complained as he followed. Yoo Jung-hyuk sent him a look. Once they got to the counter, he got himself a cup of water.
"Are you getting passive-aggressive at me, Yoo Jung-hyuk?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk just took a smug sip of his water. They found a table to sit at. Kim Dokja massaged a crick in his neck. "I hope Lee Ji-hae and Kim Nam-moon aren't getting themselves into trouble," he said.
"Lee Hyun-sung will keep an eye on them."
"That's not going to help if Anna Croft is on the prowl for them."
Kim Dokja had checked that Zarathustra was heading toward a different bar than Yoo Jung-hyuk's teammates, but he couldn't help but worry. What if she somehow learned that they were unsupervised? "I really should have gone with them," he muttered. For some reason, Yoo Jung-hyuk looked offended.
"You told me last week that you don't drink."
"It's not that I don't drink," Kim Dokja edged. "I don't really like alcohol, but I can drink. Mandatory gatherings with coworkers are mandatory, right? Lucky for you that Nam-gun Min-young is the type to hold them in her own home rather than in bars."
"If you don't like drinking, then don't drink."
"Hey, Yoo Jung-hyuk," Kim Dokja said. "It's really annoying when you act like everyone can afford to be as rude as you. Do I look like an esport celebrity?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't answer, but his expression was mulish. Kim Dokja's eyebrow twitched. "You," he said before cutting himself off. After a second, he started again.
"Is that why you dragged me off before I could go with them? You thought I didn't want to go?"
He immediately wanted to swallow the words back. Wasn't he a bit out of touch with reality today?
Never mind. You just wanted to use me as a pack mule for your shopping spree, huh?"
he said, taking a gulp of his coffee.
"You didn't want to go with them,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk declared. The coffee went down the wrong pipe. Despite Yoo Jung-hyuk's confident tone, he had been watching Kim Dokja's face with attention. Kim Dokja's sudden coughing fit only seemed to confirm to him that he had been right. He leaned back in his seat, satisfied.
"Yoo Jung-hyuk,"
Kim Dokja rasped, pained.
"You really don't need to do those things."
"What things?"
"The weekly meetings over coffee, Yoo Jung-hyuk sitting next to him on the plane like it was a given, now this."
"You don't need to force it," Kim Dokja said. "The soul bond wasn't an obligation, okay? There was no need to think so hard about it."
Yoo Jung-hyuk frowned.
"I'm not forcing anything."
Rather than let him see how skeptical he felt about that, Kim Dokja took another sip of his coffee. He stood up.
"Let's get those groceries," he said. "You want to make dinner and head to bed early, right?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk was watching him like a puzzle he needed to solve. It was giving Kim Dokja cold sweat.
"By the way," Kim Dokja said as they exited the coffee shop, "I don't think the apartment has a rice cooker."
What? Why not?
Yoo Jung-kyuk said, incredulous. Kim Dok-ja shrugged. I couldn't find an apartment that had a rice cooker on the appliances list. I guess they don't really use them in Canada. Yoo Jung-kyuk looked so personally affronted by the Canadian lifestyle that he forgot to scrutinize him. Kim Dok-ja breathed easier. What was Yoo Jung-kyuk thinking, trying to do him a favor? It had always been the other way around, and Kim Dok-ja was all right with that. Why change something that had worked just fine for years? Working for the company behind Ways of Survival felt strange. Minosoft was Kim Dok-ja's first professional experience, and he was sure that he only got the job because he was lucky enough to pair up with Yusanga on recruitment day. So he should have been relieved and grateful. But getting assigned to the team that worked on Ways of Survival really felt like stepping into a parallel universe. It was like his favorite novel had become reality and invaded his everyday life. Sure, he was only in quality assurance, but that was its own ordeal. Now, when he watched Yoo Jung-hyuk's streams, he found himself thinking things like, "Oh, this looks weird. I should check it later." Or, "I wonder if doing this or this would break the questline? Need to test." Yet this unexpected zeal didn't actually translate well into his career. It was hard to explain why he had found a bug in the main game when he was assigned to testing the next storyline expansion, and he soon gained a reputation as a disrespectful overachiever among his seniors. One Saturday afternoon, as Kim Dok-ja was listlessly watching Yoo Jung-hyuk grind equipment in a rather unpopular dungeon, a fulguration bloomed behind his eyelids. If Kim Dok-ja had hoped for a distraction, he was disappointed. Yoo Jung-hyuk was also in a foul mood.
"This dungeon is annoying," he fumed. "Should I go somewhere else? But at least there aren't many players here. If I have to fend off party requests from idiots today, I'll kill someone."
Kim Dok-ja groaned, half in empathy at how annoying human beings could be, half in protest that this wasn't helping his own misanthropy.
"All I ask is for one good piece of equipment, damn it."
Kim Dok-ja perked up. On screen, Supreme Demon King discarded a high-level chest plate like it was a piece of trash. The chat room protested, but he paid them no heed. Come to think of it, Kim Dok-ja knew this dungeon. He chewed his lip. There were many reasons not to do this. For starters, Kim Dok-ja usually avoided interacting with the chat while a fulguration was ongoing. It felt unnerving, like he was watching TV and his face suddenly showed up on the program's background. And he wasn't sure he wanted to know what Yoo Jung-hyuk was thinking when he read his messages. But... oh, screw it. He needed to see something funny.
A. Reader.
Hey, Yoo Jung-hyuk.
A. Reader.
You should put something back in that chest you just emptied.
Flying Fox.
Why, though?
Too busy brooding, Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't notice the messages. Kim Dok-ja clicked his tongue. The bastard was really antisocial today. How was he supposed to catch his attention? Damn, he had wanted to avoid that. But he had a job now. He had money. He could afford Starstream's cheapest coin package if he ate plain rice for a meal or two. One detour to the online shop later, he was back on the stream.
A Reader has sponsored 10 coins. Hey, go back for a minute. Persephone.
Reader, has your account been hacked?
Flying Fox.
This mod is making a donation. Will pigs fly next?
A Reader.
I'll have you know that some of us are broke.
Mass production maker.
We can tell, friend.
Mass production maker.
10 coins, really. Crying laughing face.
A Reader.
I don't want to hear that from you, of all people.
Mass production maker.
Shrug emoji.
Yoo Jung-hyuk had stopped in confusion. Kim Dok-ja felt him teeter for a second, then decided that he was too annoyed to humor him if it meant retracing any of his steps in this stupid dungeon. Supreme King kept going.
A Reader has sponsored 10 coins. I promise it'll be interesting.
Supreme King stopped again.
What do you want? Yoo Jung-hyuk growled.
A reader.
You still have that demonic monster core in your inventory, right?
A reader.
Go back to that room with the three chests.
Yoo Jung-hyuk squinted at the chat room.
A reader.
Heart, please, Jung-hyuk-a. Heart.
Flying Fox.
Rolling on the floor right now.
Never do that again, Yoo Jung-hyuk said, with a scowl of disgust. Rude.
A reader.
Go back then.
A reader.
Come on, I know you're curious.
To Yoo Jung-hyuk's frustration, he was. The character on the screen swiveled and backtracked.
If it's something stupid, I'm banning you, he warned.
For a week, he added mentally, surprising Kim Dokja with a strange magnanimity. Then, darker.
No, a month.
That was more like it. Still more generous than a permanent ban, though. Supreme King entered the room and made a beeline for the three chests lined up against the back wall.
What now?
A reader.
Put the core and any sword you want in the last chest.
Asmodeus.
LMAO, what's happening?
Asmodeus.
So random.
Yoo Jung-hyuk deposited the requested items in the chest and slammed it closed, or as near slamming as you could with the click of a mouse.
And?
He growled, only to cut himself off. The chest had started glowing.
The random loot box has been activated. Flying Fox.
Hey, what the hell?
A high-grade item has emerged.
After a moment of immobility, Supreme King opened the box.
You have received the S-class item, Holy Sword of Salvation. Flying Fox.
Hey, what the hell?
Persephone.
Astonished text emoji.
A reader.
Lol.
Flying Fox.
What the hell, reader?
Kim Dokja didn't answer, tickled pink by the situation. This probably constituted a breach of his contract with Minosoft, but frankly, he didn't care. He hadn't even logged this bug yet since he knew it would just get him the third degree. He basked in Yoo Jung-hyuk's surprise, but the glow of some warmer emotion soon overtook the bond, and Kim Dokja found his snickers dying in his chest as a flush rose to his cheeks. He cleared his throat. Hey, it was just a sword. That guy didn't need to be so happy.
Mass production maker.
What a king.
Asmodeus.
A demon, you mean.
Persephone.
All hail, reader, our demon king of the Holy Sword of Salvation.
A reader.
I humbly accept that crown. Please forward all gifts to the fealty of my cacao pay.
Kim Dokja ended up bundling Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Nam-hoon back to the apartment at 9 p.m. sharp. Lee Hyun-sung looked a bit wounded at being included in the curfew, which made Kim Dokja feel like he was kicking a puppy, but his guilt vanished when he spotted Anna Croft and one of her young teammates coming in just as they were exiting the bar. And this is why our team leader shouldn't monopolize the manager, all right? You're not the only person I've got to babysit. He told Yoo Jung-hyuk the next day, vindicated. Yoo Jung-hyuk glared, although it was difficult to tell if he was angrier at him or at Anna Croft's schemes. Lee Ji-hae and Kim Nam-hoon initially protested the enforced bedtime much more loudly than Lee Hyun-sung, but when morning came and they found themselves battling a hangover on top of their jet lag, they belatedly discovered wisdom.
I'm never drinking again,
Kim Nam-hoon groaned as they piled into a taxi.
Not a drop.
Liar, Lee Ji-hae grumbled, then winced as the slamming of the car doors jostled her headache. This was enough to turn to ashes the teenager's dream of partying it up in Toronto the whole trip. After a long day of interviews and photo shoots, they turned down invitations for more drinking and sullenly followed after the three older members of their party. Lee Hyun-sung and Kim Dokja both felt that if you were going to travel abroad, you had a moral duty to do some sightseeing. So the five of them trooped downtown to stare at the CN Tower from the ground,
detoured to the Nathan Phillips Square for some obligatory pictures in front of the huge Toronto sign, and topped it all off with a half-hearted stroll through the old distillery district. Then, secure in their belief that that box had been properly ticked, they returned to the apartment. Yoo-jin-hyuk set out to cook dinner while the rest of them piled in the living room. Lee Hyun-sung turned on the TV and started mouthing the news anchor's words, his brow creased in earnest concentration. Maybe he was working on his English. Kim Dokja and Lee Ji-hae were soon absorbed in their phones. Kim Nam-un had brought a console. It was a peaceful atmosphere, and Kim Dokja appreciated having all his ducklings where he could see them. He might not be giving enough credit to Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Nam-un, who had seemed resistant to Anna Croft's manipulation anyway, but he preferred not to risk it. He heard the oven open and close in the kitchen. A minute later, Yoo Jin-hyuk joined them and sat beside Lee Hyun-sung. Kim Dokja paid him no heed, assuming that he was watching the TV too. But when the rustle of turning pages started underscoring the beeps and jingles of Kim Nam-un's video game, Kim Dokja had to glance up. Yoo Jin-hyuk was reading PSI Syndrome, How to Recognize It, How to Live with It. His frown said his weary mind was struggling to make sense of the technical terms, but he kept chipping at it. Kim Dokja sunk lower in his chair. Should he steal the book? He didn't want to get beaten up. Start a conversation. What would be a topic that Yoo Jin-hyuk would ignore less readily than Kim Dokja's attempts to distract him on the plane? Lee Ji-hae's typing petered out. Maybe the person she was talking with got busy. What time was it in Korea? Early morning, right? Lee Ji-hae's old friends from school must be leaving for their college classes. Lee Ji-hae looked around the room. To Kim Dokja's dismay, her eyes landed on Yoo Jin-hyuk's reading material. She tilted her head and mouthed the words on the cover. "I didn't know you were interested in medical stuff, Master," she said, baffled. Yoo Jin-hyuk looked at her. He glanced at Kim Dokja. Kim Dokja pretended not to notice.
"Sounds boring," Kim Nam-un snorted. "What about you, Ajisi? Are you reading something snoozeworthy, too?"
He kicked at Kim Dokja's foot. Kim Dokja retracted his legs. "It's a fantasy novel." It was a bit unusual, admitting the truth to a colleague instead of hiding behind the fridge in the break room or claiming to be checking his emails.
"Oh, that sounds better. I mean, reading is still boring, but at least there are dragons." "There are dragons, right?"
"No."
"Your taste sucks, Ajisi."
Unfortunately, Kim Nam-un's intervention hadn't deterred Lee Ji-hae. She fidgeted, inching a bit closer to Yoo Jin-hyuk.
"It looks like it's a book you borrowed from someone," she asked. Maybe the riot of colored sticky notes gave that away. Kim Dokja didn't like her attitude. What was she fishing for here?
"Maybe," she said, sweating under Yoo Jin-hyuk's gaze. "Maybe Solwa Ani." Kim Dokja relaxed. He went back to his phone, snorting. Lee Ji-hae's hackles rose.
"What?"
she hissed at him.
"You could just ask how Lee Solwa-si is doing if you want to know so much."
"I can't say that," she protested. "You're so insensitive, Ajisi. Don't just bring her up like that. What if it's painful to master?"
Yoo Jin-hyuk looked between them both.
"Lee Ji-hae," he said, silencing her instantly. "It's fine."
A pause.
"Solhwa is fine, too."
Kim Dokja wasn't sure why she cared to know. Yoo Jin-hyuk and Lee Solhwa had decided on a divorce only a few months after Yoo Jin-hyuk had joined Transcendence Gaming. Lee Ji-hae couldn't have met Lee Solhwa more than a handful of times. She really tended to imprint on older women, huh?
"Is the divorce fully processed now?"
Lee Hyun-sung asked. Yoo Jin-hyuk nodded.
"It was simple."
Kim Dokja twitched. Divorce by agreement, no children. It only took a month for the paperwork to be processed. He had looked it up.
"Why did you divorce her anyway?" Kim Nam-un said. "Not everyone can get a wife that hot."
"Kim Nam-un,"
Lee Ji-hae barked, incensed.
"What? It's true?"
"And it was so sudden. One moment the captain is married and the next he's not.
Of course it would have seemed sudden to you,
Yi Hyunsung said.
Only the two of them need to know why they divorced. It's the captain's private life, so it's not really any of our business.
But the squirming unease in Kim Dokja's gut grew until it felt like he had swallowed something alive. He glanced around the room. Kim Namun, Yi Ji-hae, and Yi Hyunsung were arguing together. Yi Hyunsung was sitting right next to Yoo Jin-hyuk. So why did it seem like there was a rift between Yoo Jin-hyuk and the others? Why did it seem like Yoo Jin-hyuk was standing alone in a universe of his own? Kim Dokja knew why. That was what it did to you, to carry a wound so terrible that you couldn't bear to expose it to those around you. Yoo Jin-hyuk looked up. Their eyes met. Kim Dokja wanted so badly to reach out, to bridge that rift. If he was being honest, he had wanted that for a long time. When everything had happened, he had spent many sleepless nights convincing himself not to make contact. He had thought that if Yoo Jin-hyuk needed him, he would have asked. But Yoo Jin-hyuk hadn't known he was there. And now, it was too late, wasn't it? Kim Dokja blinked, realizing that his body had tensed like he was about to jump across the room. He relaxed and broke eye contact. How long had he been staring at Yoo Jin-hyuk like a weirdo? How embarrassing. He glanced furtively back. Yoo Jin-hyuk was still looking at him. Kim Dokja's neck warmed. Great. Now the guy definitely knew that Kim Dokja had seen what had happened a year ago. Faced with resistance from both Yi Ji-hae and Yi Hyunsung, Kim Namun crossed his arms with a pout. I just wanted to know if the divorce had something to do with that bitch Anna Croft, he grumbled. Kim Dokja blinked in surprise. Yoo Jin-hyuk predictably darkened the name.
Anna Croft, he said.
You know, since you yelled at her yesterday, Kim Namun said, his eyes lit up with an unholy love of drama. Kim Dokja smacked him on the back of the head.
Ow, I just see.
You, what trashy scenario are you picturing? Kim Dokja said, annoyed. Enough of your bullshit. The teenagers looked at him with wide eyes. What, had they never heard an adult swear? It didn't take Kim Namun long to rally. He slouched with a glare.
All right, then, what about you, Ajashi? He said.
What?
I know Hyunsung Hyung is afraid of women, he declared, to poor Yi Hyunsung's flustered sputtering.
So he's got no game. What about you? You're single, right? Got any hot friends?
Why are you assuming I'm single? Kim Dokja countered, piqued.
You look like the kind of loser who is friends with only girls, but can never get any of them to date him.
Kim Dokja stared at him without a word. This brat. Where had that uncanny guess come from?
Wait, he's right?
Yi Ji-hae snickered. Yi Hyunsung coughed, red-cheeked. I'm friends with two women, Kim Dokja couldn't resist correcting. And I did date one of them. Han Soo-young and he had sworn to never talk of those 2 months back in college ever again.
Pics or it didn't happen,
Kim Namun said. Kim Dokja was tempted to roll his eyes. How old are you? He said, but opened his phone's gallery. He found a picture of Han Soo-young and tilted the screen toward Kim Namun. The phone was snatched out of his hand.
Hey, he protested. Oh, not bad,
Kim Namun said, Yi Ji-hae crowding behind his shoulder to see.
Can I get her number?
Kim Dokja tried to steal his phone back before the brat could access his contacts, but Kim Namun twisted around.
She's too old for you. Also, she would eat you alive,
Kim Dokja said. Though it would at least be entertaining to watch. Kim Namun swiped at the screen. Both he and Yi Ji-hae gave audible gasps.
Whoa, now that's a beauty.
Kim Dokja did a rapid recounting of pictures he had on his phone. It didn't take long. He didn't use the camera that often in the first place. It was Yi Sung-ah then. She's way out of your league, Ajisi.
Ijihe said fervently. No, who was in Yusanga's league in the first place? That woman even used her commute to exercise or learn foreign languages. One long arm snaked over Ijihe's shoulder and plucked the phone out of Kim Namun's hand. The two gamers swiveled around, not having noticed Yoo Jung-hyuk walking up to them behind the couch. Yoo Jung-hyuk examined the screen with an undecipherable expression. Kim Dokja raised his eyebrows. Now that would be an interesting way to answer his rhetorical question.
How about it, Yoo Jung-hyuk? Do you want her number?
Yoo Jung-hyuk glared at him.
No.
Then he swiped through the gallery. Excuse me? Kim Dokja complained. I expected better manners from you than from the children, Yoo Jung-hyuk. Were you raised by wolves? If this is the kind of example you give these two, no wonder they turned out like this.
While Kim Namun and Lee Ji-hae protested, Lee Hyun-sung laughed. Kim Dokja got up and approached Yoo Jung-hyuk.
Give it back.
Yoo Jung-hyuk evaded his extended hand and went the other way around the teenagers.
No.
He sat in the second armchair with a phone. Kim Dokja gaped at him. What in the world had gotten into that guy? Yoo Jung-hyuk gave him a defiant look.
It's only fair, he said.
Kim Dokja's jaw snapped closed. Oh, that jerk. What was he supposed to retort to this? Lee Hyun-sung looked between them.
Captain, isn't dinner ready?
The oven had started beeping in the kitchen.
Go ahead and turn it off, Yoo Jung-hyuk said. You can eat, just put what's left back in the closed oven for me.
Lee Hyun-sung gave Kim Dokja a hangdog look, but his distraction tactic had failed, and he had been dismissed, so the obedient man had no choice but to leave. Kim Namun and Lee Ji-hae hesitated, one highly entertained, the other confused. But when nothing more interesting happened, Yoo Jung-hyuk simply rooting through the phone and Kim Dokja sitting back to stare out the window, Kim Namun bounded to his feet.
I don't know if I'll leave any food for you, Captain. It smells too good.
Even that threat didn't succeed in moving Yoo Jung-hyuk, who let the teenagers vanish into the kitchen. Kim Dokja didn't follow them either. He didn't think he could swallow anything right now. He crossed his legs and locked his heel against his armchair. He wished he could go back to his reading. It would at least allow him to keep his hands busy. But, of course, he couldn't, since his novels were being held hostage along with the rest of his most prized possession. Yoo Jung-hyuk stopped. He turned the phone toward Kim Dokja.
The kids you babysit, he said.
Kim Dokja took one look at the picture.
Yeah, Lee Gil-young and Shin Yoo-sung. Yoo Jung-hyuk nodded.
They look about Mia's age.
That's why I'm qualified to give advice, he returned flippantly.
Because you're the same age mentally?
Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
Oh, how funny.
Aren't you the comedian lately, Yoo Jung-hyuk? He said dryly. Is it the lack of sleep,
Are you having a stroke on me?
The corner of Yoo Jung-hyuk's lips lifted. Despite himself, Kim Dokja softened. This was miles better than the mood earlier. Yoo Jung-hyuk offered another picture for commentary. Kim Dokja wrinkled his nose at a group shot of drunk men crowding around his own awkward figure.
Ugh, pass. Just previous colleagues. Actually, delete that. I thought I had already done it.
Yoo Jung-hyuk obeyed, then turned the phone around again. Kim Dokja gave him an unamused look.
That's a cat, Yoo Jung-hyuk, he drawled.
Yours?
Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
No, I don't have any pets. He could barely take care of himself most days. Yoo Jung-hyuk nodded. He passed through a few more pictures. The next time he turned his wrist expectantly, Kim Dokja gave up. With a muttered curse, he hauled himself out of his chair and perched on Yoo Jung-hyuk's armrest. He threw an arm on the cushion behind Yoo Jung-hyuk's head.
What? He said with a tired sigh.
Yoo Jung-hyuk made Kim Dokja go through most of the camera roll. Kim Dokja didn't pay much attention to the thing usually, so he had random shots of subway maps and documents he had scanned to email in between actually relevant people and places. Some pictures dated as far back as college.
Ugh, that's old, he muttered, embarrassed, at a remnant of a time when he had tried his hand at selfies. Why did he look so self-satisfied? There was a pimple on his chin, and even back then, he had bags under his eyes. Delete that. Yoo Jin-hyuk smirked and kept staring. When Kim Dok-ja moved to press the delete button himself, Yoo Jin-hyuk swiped to the next one. Prick.
That woman again, Yoo Jin-hyuk said.
Yeah, that's Han Si-young.
The one you dated.
What was he doing, paying attention to stuff like that?
I'm not talking about that without an attorney,
Kim Dok-ja grumbled.
You're still friends with her.
Yeah, well, we are clearly both have terrible taste in friends. He was rewarded by the twitch of a smile. Lee Ji-hae crossed the room and glowered at Kim Dok-ja like he was committing a terrible taboo by sitting so close to Yoo Jin-hyuk. Lee Hyun-sung and Kim Nam-moon appeared next, the former firmly pushing the latter away from the kitchen.
But there's still so much food left,
Kim Nam-moon protested.
Those are Dok-ja's and the captain's portions.
All right, enough, Kim Dok-ja said, reaching for his phone again. Dinner is going to get cold, Yoo Jin-hyuk. He wasn't doing this with an audience. Besides, they had already reached the end of the gallery. He didn't want to have to explain why the device contained no trace of his life in high school or before. He was already intimately aware that nothing in these pictures suggested the existence of a family. Yoo Jin-hyuk had to have noticed, but he didn't mention it. He didn't resist, either, letting Kim Dok-ja slip the phone into his pocket with relief. The evening passed quickly. Everyone was still tired, so it wasn't long before one by one they retreated to their bedrooms. Since he slept in the living room, Kim Dok-ja had to wait until they were all done. Already in his sleepwear, he set up the pullout and closed the blinds, while Yoo Jin-hyuk took the last turn in the bathroom. Kim Dok-ja was slipping between the sheets when Yoo Jin-hyuk got out. Yoo Jin-hyuk turned the bathroom light off. Only the small lamp next to Kim Dok-ja was left on. It traced the lines of Yoo Jin-hyuk's muscles in his sleeveless shirt. Kim Dok-ja laid down and watched him cross the room. Yoo Jin-hyuk disappeared behind the couch. Good night, Kim Dok-ja muttered as he extended a hand for the lamp.
Kim Dok-ja.
He stopped.
Yes?
There was a lengthy silence.
Thank you for coming.
Kim Dok-ja stayed frozen. Did he mean the trip, or... The bedroom door closed. Kim Dok-ja bit his lip. He turned the light off. Footnote. Reminder that Kim Dok-ja isn't exaggerating. In South Korea, it is considered disrespectful to refuse a drink, especially when you're out with colleagues. Chapter 8.
It's been an honor having the both of you here today,
the interviewer said. His smile was so obviously artificial. Yoo Jin-hyuk held nothing but contempt for him. Journalists were all snakes in the grass. The man went on.
I don't think I need to tell you how disappointed fans were to see Yoo Jin-hyuk and Sarah Thuster go their separate ways last year. There were rumors that the split was due to Yoo Jin-hyuk's poor performance in the last world championship. Would you care to address those?
All of Yoo Jin-hyuk's muscles locked. It was either that or go for the throat of that two-faced swine. To the journalist's credit, his expression didn't waver under the full brunt of Yoo Jin-hyuk's anger. Only the sweat beating at his temple gave him away. Yoo Jin-hyuk felt a calm gaze weigh on him from beyond the camera. Kim Dok-ja was there, waiting next to Selena Kim.
You'll be filmed, the man had said. Try not to glare. You're the one who agreed to this, so if you want to prove that these questions don't affect you, your rotten temper can't show on your face.
Yoo Jin-hyuk had had a thing or two to say to that. Unfortunately, Kim Dok-ja was right. And that man would know, wouldn't he? Nothing ever showed on his face that he didn't want there. It incensed Yoo Jin-hyuk for reasons he couldn't even pinpoint. And just for today, he could channel some of that maddening attitude. His shoulders loosened. He stared at the wall beyond the interviewer's head,
sure that he would do something violent if he kept looking at him. Anna Croft, of course, hadn't waited for him to compose himself. "We're very happy to have Yu Jinghyuk with us," she was saying. "The Supreme King's talent is undeniable, but Yu Jinghyuk was the only one on the team still living in Korea, and the difference in time zones was starting to take a toll on everyone. It's regrettable that we had to say goodbye, but I believe it was the best decision for all of us." Empty words. Pretty compliments that did nothing to dispel the interviewer's pointed reminder of the worst performance he had ever given in an international competition. If anything, she was putting the blame on Yu Jinghyuk for having been unwilling to move his sister and his entire life to the United States.
"I see. Yu Jinghyuk, your thoughts?"
Yu Jinghyuk pried his jaw open.
"I have always given my best to Zarathustra, as with any team I have ever worked with," he said. "Anyone can check my track record for themselves. If that stumble was enough for the team to overlook my entire career, it's true it was necessary to move on. I'm done indulging Zarathustra's poor priorities."
Selena Kim's eyes widened. The journalist blinked twice. It was the first time Yu Jinghyuk had confirmed that he hadn't left of his own accord. Anna Croft had certainly done plenty of dancing around the subject. She kept her face carefully neutral, but her hands tightened on her lap. The truth put a dent in her facade of gentle friendliness. Yu Jinghyuk sneaked a glance at Kim Dokja. He was looking down with a quiet smile. When Kim Dokja had insisted that they prepare for this interview together, Yu Jinghyuk had expected that he would want him to keep his answers as bland as possible. But Kim Dokja had made far less effort at policing his words than the way he would say them.
"Mutual agreement, then,"
the journalist said with a smile that did little to hide his satisfaction. His piece had just gotten a lot more interesting.
"Yu Jinghyuk, this will be your 10th world championship. What do you reply to those who say it's time for you to retire?" "No need to beat around the bush," he growled.
Kim Dokja's eyes bore warningly into the side of his face. He struggled to rein in his temper.
"I know very well that my performance last year was pitiful. Nobody knows it better than me. But if anyone believes that makes me obsolete, they have lost their mind."
He lifted his chin, staring down his nose at the gulping journalist.
"This year's championship belongs to Team 999,
he said, icy.
"I look forward to seeing anyone try to steal this crown."
Bold words. A nervous chuckle. Anna Croft, a word to conclude this interview, maybe. She gave a serene smile. "Well, there isn't much to add, is there? We will soon see who is the true king of this arena." "Yes, of course," the journalist said. "Thank you both very much for this opportunity, and good luck in the championship." Yu Jinghyuk launched himself out of his seat as soon as the camera turned off. He stormed out. A woman was waiting outside to take him and Anna Croft to the next event. She jumped, but Yu Jinghyuk strode past her before she could say anything. Kim Dokja's voice rose behind him, leisurely smoothing down feathers in his stead. Yu Jinghyuk spotted a glass door to the side corridor. He shouldered through it. Cold wind greeted him. He had left his jacket on the ground floor, but the fresh air lightened the pall of anger on his mind. The long balcony was empty. He approached the edge and closed his hands around the railing. The door opened and closed. Kim Dokja appeared by his side. He shivered with a frown of distaste, but made no move to retreat inside. They stared down at the street a few stories below. The sounds of traffic filled the space between them.
"I hate her,"
Yu Jinghyuk snarled. He had never said the words out loud before, but it wasn't a confession, it was a vow. Kim Dokja gave no outward reaction. Of course, Yu Jinghyuk reflected bitterly. Not much did he ever seem to surprise the man. Kim Dokja only hummed and looked away. Then something happened. At the beginning, Yu Jinghyuk didn't even notice. He was angry enough that more of the same emotion just slid seamlessly into his. But as dark thoughts swirled in his mind, some of them rang unfamiliar. The resentment was quieter than Yoo Jung-hyuk's. It slid under conscious thoughts. It whispered into abandoned places. It kept itself invisible and silent, but no less burning for it. This was not the proud anger of Yoo Jung-hyuk, which shone honestly on his face and had to be exercised by action. This was the anger of a man who had learned to keep all his negative emotions hidden, all his acts of revenge quiet and devious. And yet, it echoed so beautifully.
You,
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, staring at Kim Dokja in amazement. Kim Dokja blinked back, confused.
What? What's with that look?
Rippled across Yoo Jung-hyuk's mind, like wind on the surface of a lake. Then a picture. The memory of the only time Yoo Jung-hyuk had looked at Kim Dokja that way, the day they had met. Shock and embarrassment crashed onto the link. It slammed closed. Color rose on Kim Dokja's face.
What? Wait. Just now, did I?
He stammered. Yoo Jung-hyuk couldn't glimpse anything from his mind anymore. Still, the snapshot had been enough. So Kim Dokja could also feel like this. Weeks of careful observation and regular squabbling hadn't helped Yoo Jung-hyuk understand this man any better. Kim Dokja was an enigma. He appeared aloof and self-serving, but he had, on two occasions, risked getting fired for refusing to breach Yoo Jung-hyuk's privacy in front of their bosses. He pretended not to care about his job, but he was shouldering the work of two assistant managers without complaint and constantly going above and beyond. Just last week, he had stayed overtime of his own accord to teach Kim Namoon to read a contract. And now this. Blank-faced, glib Kim Dokja hated Anna Croft. Why, when he had only met her 2 days ago? Yoo Jung-hyuk smiled. Here was someone who knew what he had lived through, more intimately than anyone else, and still his response was the same as Yoo Jung-hyuk. Could there be anything more vindicating in the world? Kim Dokja stared at him, looking dazed.
What's the matter? Yoo Jung-hyuk taunted. Fulgurations don't bother you, right?
Shut up, Kim Dokja muttered. He turned away. The back of his neck was red.
Ass.
He tucked his hands under his crossed arms. He was shivering. Like Yoo Jung-hyuk, he was only wearing a button-up. He was much thinner, though. Considering the things Yoo Jung-hyuk generally saw him eat, it was no surprise that he was skin and bones. Taking pity on him, Yoo Jung-hyuk opened the door.
Get in.
Kim Dokja didn't need to be asked twice. Are you done playing the broody protagonist, then? He said, feigning nonchalance like he wasn't struggling to meet Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes. Yoo Jung-hyuk shut the door, barring the wind outside. He stepped up to Kim Dokja. His gaze dissected him. Maybe he was finally starting to understand. Nothing that Kim Dokja offered freely could be trusted at face value. You always had to look underneath. What a needlessly complicated guy. What was with the staring? And why was Yoo Jung-hyuk standing so close? The corridor wasn't that narrow. Looking back at him was giving Kim Dokja a crick in the neck. Really, who had allowed Yoo Jung-hyuk to be so tall? Kim Dokja stepped back. Come on, we're nearly done. Just this last mixer, then we can go home. He led the way, willing the skin of his nape to cool down already. He couldn't believe what had just happened. He hadn't even noticed the wall opening this time. Was it how it worked with most people? Not even a warning sign, and suddenly your thoughts were no longer private. Of course, that was it. Of course, that's how it was meant to work. He had always known that intellectually, but to live through it? His mind whirled. He felt like a cage full of birds. A few had escaped when Yoo Jung-hyuk had opened the door, and now the rest wouldn't settle, flitting in panic in the confines of his brain. He couldn't even hear himself think. At least Yoo Jung-hyuk hadn't seemed to mind. Whatever he had glimpsed of Kim Dokja's inner workings, it hadn't seemed to put him off. But how long would that last? Kim Dokja had dark corners that even he didn't like to root through. If the fulguration started escaping his control, how long until Yoo Jung-hyuk... He blinked away the image of Eugene Hyuk's bright smile, the wind sweeping through his dark hair and moving the lines of his shirt against his chest. Who knew that the guy could look so happy? He ditched Eugene Hyuk with their minder from Minosoft, pretexting a bathroom break to part ways with him. He felt Eugene Hyuk's eyes follow him. Kim Dokja didn't look back, unwilling to see his expression. He locked himself inside the toilet and splashed water on his face. He took a deep breath. He had to get a grip. His job here wasn't done. He could think about this later. He scrutinized himself in the mirror above the sink. He looked pale. Maybe he shouldn't have been surprised. After all, his history with Eugene Hyuk was a long chronicle of Kim Dokja setting boundaries only to cross them later. When it came to Eugene Hyuk, he was pathetically weak-willed. The replay of the stream where a reader showed Eugene Hyuk the chest exploit went viral. So many players proceeded to use the bug in the following days that Minosoft had to deploy an emergency fix. The developers at the office grumbled about it all week, but nobody pointed a finger at Kim Dokja. QA techs were invisible mice to the rest of their colleagues. Everyone just assumed that the problem had been caused by one of the overzealous players who made it a habit of testing a game's limitations. In fact, this was what the followers of Eugene Hyuk's channel assumed about A Reader, too. For years, he had been fielding the questions Eugene Hyuk should have answered in the chat, so it wasn't a stretch to think he played WOS himself. He was perfectly happy to hide behind that excuse. The only issue was the party offers he began receiving on Starstream. Did people think he had SS-class items pouring out of his pockets? More and more people started asking him for tips and tricks. Between Kim Dokja's job and what he had learned through Eugene Hyuk, A Reader soon became known as a WOS minutia expert. The requests got so specific that he did end up creating a game account just to test some of his theories. His professional QA account was too traceable for the most outlandish stuff. "I can't believe you're getting into video games," Han Soo-young told him. She was morbidly watching him edit the WOS wiki on his phone. It was distressing how often people were wrong on the internet. "I'm not. I'm just in it for the lore." "You need a better work-life balance." "I'm not doing this for my job," he said, offended that she'd dare suggest such a thing. "Whatever. This had better not eat into the time you spend reading my chapters. And don't skip on sleep either, you idiot. I'll break into your apartment and replace all your coffee with decaf." Ways of Survival was an MMORPG with a competitive PvP league. Eugene Hyuk didn't stream his actual PvP training, unwilling as he was to offer his opponents easy footage of his habits, but he spent hours every week farming equipment and working through new quests or scenarios that WOS released regularly. He did that alone. He was known for never accepting party invitations. If a scenario required a team, he would cooperate with his professional teammates. Sometimes this resulted in a joint streaming session, but most often he just did it out of his streaming hours. One sunny Saturday, Eugene Hyuk opened his mouth.
"Reader, get online."
Kim Dokja, who had just dragged himself out of bed to catch the stream and was only listening with half a ear, felt his elbow slip from the table. He caught himself just before he fell out of his chair.
A Reader.
"I am online?"
A Reader.
"Or am I not?"
A Reader.
"Am I actually still asleep and dreaming this? Would I know if I was?"
A Reader.
"It's too early for this kind of existential question, YJH."
To no one's surprise, Eugene Hyuk glared.
"In the game,"
he said slowly, as he was wont to do when he thought someone dim-witted.
"You have an account, right? It's 2 p.m.
Flying Fox.
OMG.
Flying Fox.
Reader and SK team up.
Maritime War God.
Astonished text emoji face.
A Reader.
What? No.
You don't have an account?"
Eugene Hyuk said, sounding unfairly skeptical.
A Reader.
"What is it to you whether I do or I don't?"
A reader.
Don't tell me you actually want to team up.
Are you coming or not?
What? That wasn't a no. Was Yoo Jung-hyuk seriously asking? Kim Dokja typed an answer just to gain some time to think.
A reader.
Why would you even assume I play in the same server as you?
There is only one Korean server,
Yoo Jung-hyuk hissed. He sounded annoyed, but really that was his own fault. Nobody had asked him to drop a bomb like that on camera. Kim Dokja's eyes roved around the screen, belatedly catching up with the situation. It seemed Yoo Jung-hyuk was going for the new Halloween scenario. Seasonal scenarios were often underwhelming for high-level accounts, but Yoo Jung-hyuk was currently raising an alt, so that part wasn't surprising.
A reader.
Why don't you ask Anna or Iris?
He wanted to take back the words the instant he hit enter. It was only recently that Yoo Jung-hyuk had joined Zarathustra, and he had argued with Anna Croft just a day ago. The whole team was walking on eggshells around him. Yoo Jung-hyuk averted his eyes.
Just get online.
Kim Dokja cursed in his mind. Who did that guy think he was? Kim Dokja didn't want to play with him. Being his mod was as close as he was willing to get. A reader didn't enter the pages to mess with the story. An audience didn't cross the screen to become pixels. There were some lines that shouldn't be crossed.
Flying Fox.
Come on, reader, you know you want to.
Thursday Thunder.
Hurry up, man.
Thursday Thunder.
It's not every day we get to see SK team up.
Could the Peanut Gallery please shut up?
Mass Production Maker.
Are you really going to leave him hanging? Smiling cowboy hat emoji.
Persephone.
He's waiting, reader.
Yes, speaking of, why was Yoo Jung-hyuk still waiting? Wasn't a reader's answer obvious at this point? The longer Yoo Jung-hyuk stayed motionless, expecting a partner that wouldn't come, the more pathetic it made him look to his stream viewers.
Just snag some random player, Jung-hyuk-a,
he gritted out.
A reader.
I have to mod.
That's fine, Yoo Jung-hyuk said instantly. You can just stand in a corner while I do the scenario. I only need you to make up the numbers.
That little...
Mass Production Maker.
Lol.
Flying Fox.
Dying!
Despite everything, Kim Dokja found himself laughing, too. What an asshole. Of course he wasn't expecting a reader to be of any help. Damn it. The stream would turn out boring if Yoo Jung-hyuk couldn't find a teammate. Why hadn't that idiot planned the session better?
A reader.
Fine.
Maritime War God.
Ooh.
Flying Fox.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
It was only his game avatar, right? It's not like he would be turning on his webcam. He could lend his account as a background prop, since Yoo Jung-hyuk was bad at finding his own.
A reader.
You can lug me around like a mannequin, but if I die, I'm billing you for any expense sustained by respawning.
You won't die.
It was said confidently. Well, if anyone can manage a scenario meant for a group while not letting a single scratch land on their AFK teammate, it was Yoo Jung-hyuk. Kim Dokja shook his head and launched the game on his computer. His character appeared at the mouth of the broken bridge that served as the dungeon. A crowd of players was milling around. Only the bravest dared send party requests to the famous professional player among them. IB Supreme King was ignoring them all. Kim Dokja selected the black-clad avatar. On the stream, now open on his phone, a new message window appeared.
Jimin King of Salvation has sent you a party request. Persephone.
Oh, from a few months ago. I'm flattered.
Persephone.
This username suits you, reader.
Thursday Thunder.
Wait a sec.
Thursday Thunder.
Isn't there a 20-character limit for usernames?
Kim Dokja took his phone in hand to type rapidly.
A reader.
Oh yeah, fun fact.
A reader.
The last extension introduced a bug. Dots no longer get counted.
Yoo Jung-hyuk had never used the range of emoticons or stances Ways of Survival offered for social interactions, but at that moment, something appeared above the head of IB Supreme King. Dot, dot, dot.
Persephone.
Dot, dot, dot.
Flying Fox.
Dot, dot, dot.
Mass Production Maker.
Dot, dot, dot.
Maritime War God.
Dot, dot, dot.
Thursday Thunder.
Lol, scammer.
A reader.
Rude.
A reader.
Are you heading a cult, YJH? Is that what's happening here?
Your stats are pathetic. You should grind more.
IB Supreme King has agreed to your party request.
By necessity, Kim Dokja was good at compartmentalizing. He could shake hands and exchange complimentary words with strangers, memorize faces and names and every tidbit of information that he would need to support Uriel when he got back. He could do that, and not think about what had happened out on that balcony. Kim Dokja ended the conversation with another sponsor. He slipped the man's card in his pocket with the rest of them and allowed his smile to drop. He sighed. The wine in his hand had long gone lukewarm, and the hubbub in the room was starting to give him a headache. Was it too early yet to make their excuses? He checked the time on his phone. To his relief, it was getting close to the cutoff time he had planned. He could probably gather all his ducklings and head off now. After all, they had a plane to catch after this, and one had to account for traffic. He looked around the room for his team. Yoo Jung-hyuk and Lee Hyun-sung's tall figures should have been the easiest to find, but raised voices snatched his attention first. In a crowd near the refreshments table, Kim Nam-moon was arguing with Iris, one of Zarathustra's youngest members. Kim Dokja held back a curse and swiftly moved through the crowd. Lee Ji-hae stood next to Kim Nam-moon, but she wasn't doing anything to stop him. Both their faces were red, Kim Nam-moon's even more so than Lee Ji-hae's, and in a way that spoke less of emotion than of tipsiness. Maybe it had been a bad idea to leave 2 19-year-olds without supervision. Despite Kim Nam-moon's vow of sobriety, alcohol had a powerful allure for teenagers who had just reached the Korean drinking age. With Kim Dokja's bad luck, it wasn't surprising that Zarathustra reached the argument first. Selena Kim managed to bundle the fuming Iris away, leaving Anna Croft to fend off Kim Namoon's abuse with a wry smile. The moment Kim Dokja was about to intervene, a large back swept in his way.
"Master," Lee Ji-hae cheered, "you tell her. You tell those jerks at Zarathustra."
Instead of calming the situation in any way, Yoo Jung-hyuk just glared at Anna Croft. Kim Dokja gritted his teeth. At least he hadn't opened his mouth to make things worse. Kim Dokja went around Yoo Jung-hyuk, knocking his shoulder to get him to stop standing there like a hostile statue. He might as well have flicked him for how little it got the huge bastard to move. "Sorry about that," Kim Dokja told Anna Croft. "Our colleagues can be a bit rowdy. We'll get them out of your hair."
"You get out of my hair, Ajushi."
Kim Nam-moon snarled when Kim Dokja stepped in front of them, hands outstretched to get them to back off.
Whatever, fucking move."
He snatched Kim Dokja by the lapels of his jacket. Immediately, Yoo Jung-hyuk's glare swiveled to him.
"Kim Nam-moon,"
he growled. Kim Nam-moon froze. For all that the young man was too aggressive for his own good, he had learned months ago not to cross Yoo Jung-hyuk. Those muscles weren't for show. Kim Nam-moon meekly let go. He and Lee Ji-hae let Kim Dokja turn them around, grumbling. Anna Croft smiled at Yoo Jung-hyuk. "It's a shame that you couldn't find more mature colleagues, Yoo Jung-hyuk," she told him, falsely commiserating. "But I suppose you've never been overly concerned with your reputation in that field." Her words rooted Kim Dokja to the spot. Blood rushed to his ears. Was this woman trying to start something?
What was her angle today? Did she want Yoo Jung-hyuk to punch her in a room full of witnesses so Minosoft would have no choice but to exclude him from the championship? If that was her plan, it was working. The glint in Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes was murderous, and there was no Lee Hyun-sung to stop him this time. Well, that wouldn't do. Certainly, when it comes to reputation, you're an expert, Anna Croft. This time, Kim Dokja had spoken in English, in a voice pitched to Carrie. A few conversations nearby petered out, curious ears turning in their direction. Surprised, Anna Croft looked at him. Excuse me? You've come so far despite your humble beginnings, he said with a smile. What was it you used to be called? The Prophet of Las Vegas? If I was your manager, I wouldn't dare give a company card to someone with a history of gambling addiction. But I suppose your sponsors are very progressive. Good for you. Whispers broke out in their vicinity. Kim Dokja wondered idly how many journalists had heard that. The approaching Selena Kim stopped in her tracks and stared at Anna like she had never met her before. Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes were on Kim Dokja. So were Anna Croft's. That was private information, she said after a long moment had passed. Oh? He said, feigning concern. You are known as such a sincere person, I wouldn't have thought it was a secret. The corner of her lips lifted, but there was nothing friendly about her expression. Had she thought that nobody would be willing to play dirtier than her? Kim Dokja had never claimed to be an upstanding citizen. He would play as dirty as he pleased. I don't think we've been introduced, she said. I'm Kim Dokja, he said, genially offering his hand. Team 999's assistant manager. She shook his hand like it was a poisonous snake and released it as fast as propriety would let her. I see, Mr. Kim. You seem rather protective of Yoo Jung-hyuk. I would advise you not to expect too much from him. Anna, Selena Kim said in a reprimanding tone. She put a hand on Anna's shoulder, trying to get her to leave. I just don't want you to be disappointed, Anna continued. Yoo Jung-hyuk doesn't have much patience for sycophants.
Anna Croft.
Yoo Jung-hyuk's voice cut like a knife through her words. Steel glinted in his eyes. Kim Dokja tensed, prepared to have to do damage control. But Yoo Jung-hyuk used Korean to say,
This is the person I share everything with.
Kim Dokja's eyes widened. Behind him, Lee Ji-hae breathed in so sharply she fell into a coughing fit. The person with whom I share everything, although in the modern age this expression was sometimes used between effusive lovers, it was formally meant to designate one's soulmate. The idea of Yoo Jung-hyuk getting that cheesy with a significant other was laughable, so it was impossible to misunderstand what he meant. Anna Croft paled. The thing about living in a world with fulgurations was that you could never be certain of how many people observed your actions, regardless of how many were in a room with you. And when you chose to hurt someone, you could never tell whether they had a witness in their corner.
What's the matter? Yoo Jung-hyuk taunted her. Weren't you going to warn him about all my flaws?
When she didn't answer, he scoffed at her and strode away. Kim Dokja clicked his tongue. Did Yoo Jung-hyuk really have to top that off with a dramatic exit? He wanted to complain about his bad timing, but that look of vicious satisfaction Yoo Jung-hyuk had been sporting made it impossible to stay annoyed. Hey, Kim Dokja said, turning to Lee Ji-hae and Kim Namun. They were staring at him like two dumb mini-sunfish. Catch up to him, will you? Our taxi is here. He held up his phone, which had just chimed. If he has to storm out, make sure it's towards the car. Hmm. Lee Ji-hae said, oddly flushed.
What about you, Achi-si?
I'll be there soon. I just need to find Lee Hyun-sung-si and warn people that we're leaving.
The two gamers disappeared without argument. That was a nice change from their usual. Kim Dokja searched the crowd for his fourth charge.
Mr. Kim Dokja.
He turned back in time to catch sight of Anna Croft's retreating figure. Not even a goodbye to him, for shame.
But Selena Kim was still there, so he swallowed his smile. Selena Kim licked her lips. She looked troubled.
I'm sorry about this. It's a shame that the situation is so tense between Anna and Jung-hyuk now.
Kim Dokja lifted skeptical eyebrows. She couldn't be that naive. It's always been tense, he said, in Korean, since he was no longer talking for an audience. English was stupidly difficult. She sheepishly ducked her head.
I suppose there is no hiding it from Kim Dokja-si, she said, indulging him with the language change.
Anna always saw Jung-hyuk-si as a threat to her leadership of the team. So she did know. It didn't raise his opinion of her that she had understood what was going on and had still been unwilling to step in. She found it in herself to smile at him.
I didn't have the time to congratulate Jung-hyuk-si, but I should say, it's nice to finally meet you, Kim Dokja-si.
Under her expectant gaze, he found his lips parting. It's nice to be met. The words felt flat and alien in his mouth, but she beamed. It's nice to be met was what you were supposed to say when you met your soulmate's acquaintances for the first time, an acknowledgement that you knew more about them than they did about you. It was so unnatural it made him want to tear off his tongue.
I understand that you have to hurry, Selena Kim said, but I was hoping we could talk for a minute.
What is it?
Jung-hyuk-si is... I know that he resents me. It's true I probably could have done more to intervene between him and Anna, but just because he's no longer part of the team, it doesn't mean that I don't care about him anymore. We used to be colleagues. I would have called him a friend, even.
He crossed his arms. I don't think he considers you a friend anymore.
No, she agreed, frowning sadly. I suppose not. But still, I'm a bit worried.
Worried?
I expected him to be angry at being pushed out of Zarathustra, but not this angry. His reaction a few days ago... I don't know. I just want to make sure he's okay.
Kim Dok just stared at her. What kind of answer was she hoping to hear? Most probably something that could assuage her guilt. Something that would make her put her history with Yoo Jung-hyuk to rest, with a happy ending and a neat little bow on top. Hearing the truth would hurt her deeply. He wanted so badly to tell her. She may not deserve to bleed for what she had done, but Yoo Jung-hyuk had deserved none of what they had put him through. Kim Dok-cha would have released the poisonous words in a heartbeat if it hadn't meant bearing Yoo Jung-hyuk's most private wound to her. "He is as you saw," he said. Selena Kim looked disappointed.
"Right. How is Lee So-wa-si? Do you know?"
"They divorced."
"Yes, but..."
Kim Dok-cha glared at the screen of his phone. "Excuse me, I really should get going." As he turned away, she threw one last question.
"What about the child?"
He stopped. "The child?"
"Yes." She gave an awkward little laugh. "I never learned whether it's a boy or a girl, but Lee So-wa-si was pregnant, was she not?"
"She was."
"Does Lee So-wa-si have custody?"
Kim Dok-cha didn't answer.
Does Jung-hyuk-si?
Kim Dok-cha only looked at her. At his continued silence, her face crumpled like paper. Her lips shook.
"I see,"
she said in a strangled voice. So she wasn't stupid after all. Maybe deep inside she had always known the truth. Maybe she had suspected all along what they had done to Yoo Jung-hyuk the day they had cut him out. He hoped she never forgave herself. All this drama had put them behind schedule. Traffic made it an awkward taxi ride even longer. Clueless Lee Hyun-sung kept glancing between the rest of them. Lee Ji-hae and Kim Nam-moon were surprisingly quiet. Yoo Jung-hyuk sat cross-armed and lost in thoughts. And Kim Dok-jo was scrambling to file their pre-flight check-in on his phone so they could gain some time at the airport. It was probably obvious to Lee Hyun-sung that something had happened, but he didn't dare ask.
However, the two teenagers must have talked to him at some point during their dash through security, because by the time they all made it to the plane, Lee Hyun-sung could no longer look at Kim Dok-ja without tripping over himself. Kim Dok-ja had never seen a bear-sized man snap a military salute while blushing like a schoolgirl, but Lee Hyun-sung managed that before willingly diving into the middle aisle seat. Similarly, Lee Ji-hae didn't even try to get Yoo Jung-hyuk to sit next to her. She accepted Kim Nam-moon as her seatmate without complaints and absorbed herself into contemplation of the dark window. Their behavior made Kim Dok-ja want to run for the hills. It didn't help anything when Yoo Jung-hyuk took a step back in the aisle to offer him the window seat. The show of courtesy made his skin crawl, but there were people behind him. They couldn't keep blocking the corridor. He reluctantly slid into the seat. The backrest sagged a little when Yoo Jung-hyuk settled his large frame next to him. The flight attendants made their rounds, checking on the passengers and closing the overhead compartments. Kim Dok-ja closed his safety belt and leaned his shoulder against the wall, leaving the middle armrest to Yoo Jung-hyuk.
"How did you know?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said suddenly. Kim Dok-ja turned to him.
"About that woman's past,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk clarified.
"Or were you bluffing?"
Bluffing? Who was bluffing? There were rumors online about her at some point. I just did some digging of my own. Kim Dok-ja took the flight magazine from the pocket in front of him and leafed through it. "She is still on the wall of fame of three casinos in Las Vegas," he added. "She was good. I wonder if she really stopped." It might be that she had just learned how to be quieter about it to protect her reputation. If that was the case, her secret probably wouldn't hold up to professional journalists taking an interest. When there was no reply, he looked up. Yoo Jung-hyuk was staring at him. His expression gave nothing away.
"So, this is how you hate someone?"
"I don't hate her," Kim Dok-ja said, a knee-jerk answer. Though he wouldn't have minded if she took a long walk off a short cliff. Yoo Jung-hyuk snorted. Kim Dok-ja immediately checked the wall in his mind. That thought hadn't made it through, right? He didn't think it had. At this rate, he might have more luck tracking the fulgurations from Yoo Jung-hyuk's face. For someone so dour, he lit up whenever he received one. Kim Dok-ja's stomach flipped. He absorbed himself in his magazine. The plane accelerated on the runway. Soon, the feeling of weightlessness took over Kim Dok-ja's body. He watched through the window as the ground fell away. Unlike the previous trip, it was already night outside. The lights of Toronto gathered under them, more numerous the more they gained altitude. He didn't expect someone like Yoo Jung-hyuk to appreciate the spectacle, so it was a shock when he turned around to find the man's eyes were on the window too. Feeling boxed in, Kim Dok-ja warily leaned back in his seat. He looked around, hoping that the vending cart would make an appearance soon. He hadn't eaten much at the mixer, and he hadn't had time to snag something at the airport. His eyes fell on Yoo Jung-hyuk's lap. A familiar book rested there, waiting to be opened. Annoyed, Kim Dok-ja glanced away.
"Why do you hate when I read this?"
The voice made a muscle jump in his leg. Yoo Jung-hyuk was watching him now. Kim Dok-ja opened his mouth.
"Don't say you don't hate it,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, contemptuous. Kim Dok-ja closed his mouth. He glared.
"You said I could borrow it,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk reminded him.
"And now you have it. Is it an illuminating read?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk ignored the sarcasm.
"You don't like it when I read it in front of you." "I dislike the whole thing, Yoo Jung-hyuk." "The syndrome?"
Hello, had he stuttered? An insult was on the tip of Kim Dok-ja's tongue. He stopped himself. He glanced between their seats. The curious gazes of two eavesdropping youngsters greeted him. Lee Hyun-sung was also peeking at them around his magazine. Lee Ji-hae ducked away as soon as Yoo Jung-hyuk turned to glower at her. The trip to the airport seemed to have sobered her. Kim Nam-moon was far more shameless.
"So are you two seriously soulmates?"
he said.
"Like, for real?"
"Yes," Yoo Jung-hyuk grunted. The easy way he said it struck Kim Dok-ja dumb. Was he really... Couldn't that jerk at least... Fuck, whatever.
Apparently they were doing this.
Wicked,
Kim Namun said, grinning. On the contrary, Lee Ji-hae let out a high-pitched whine.
I called you lame,
she exploded. She launched herself out of her seat, her expression wild.
I'm so, so sorry, Master. I didn't mean to. It's Ajisi's fault.
Kim Dokja tried to restrain his laughter, but his shoulders shook. Kim Namun smacked his arm, cackling.
Good job, Ajisi.
Inside voice, Lee Ji-hae,
Yoo Jung-hyuk said between his teeth, as the other passengers turned disapproving faces toward her shouts.
I'm really so sorry.
Kim Dokja usually liked Lee Hyun-sung, but he found himself uncharitably glad for the man's tendency to go tongue-tied when he was flustered. Kim Dokja would have strangled him if Lee Hyun-sung hadn't fallen silent out of embarrassment after his second fumbling attempt to congratulate them. There was really no need to speak about this, all right? Kim Dokja could go his whole life without hearing another word on the subject. The atmosphere in the cabin steadily got drowsy. One by one, people turned off their lights and received blankets from the attendants. Kim Dokja closed his eyes so they would stop straying toward Yoo Jung-hyuk's book. He woke up an indeterminate amount of time later. Although he was certain he had fallen asleep against the vibrating wall, he was now tilted the other way. It took him far too long to realize that his cheek was resting on Yoo Jung-hyuk's shoulder. He jerked away. His move jostled the seats. Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes slid open. The look he gave him threatened violence.
Sorry,
Kim Dokja whispered. Had he woken him? Yoo Jung-hyuk's arms were crossed, and he was slumped in his seat. His blinks were sluggish. Kim Dokja surreptitiously rubbed his cheek. Thankfully, it didn't look like he had drooled on Yoo Jung-hyuk's shirt. The cabin was dark and silent. Kim Dokja rummaged in his pocket. His phone said it was 3 a.m., Toronto time. Yoo Jung-hyuk grunted in protest at the glare of the screen. His large hand engulfed it.
Sorry, Kim Dokja said again. Go back to sleep, Jung-hyuk-a.
His words had the opposite effect to the one intended. Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes opened fully and watched him with startling intensity. Belatedly, Kim Dokja's tired brain caught up to what he had said. He bit his tongue hard enough for it to hurt. What an idiot! He had been making conscious efforts not to call Yoo Jung-hyuk so familiarly.
Sorry, Yoo Jung-hyuk, I didn't mean to...
Be quiet.
The hoarse whisper made something shiver in his guts. Yoo Jung-hyuk's arm looped around his shoulders. Before he could stiffen, he was tucked back into the crook of Yoo Jung-hyuk's neck. His hand clenched around his phone. Yoo Jung-hyuk leaned his head against his.
Sleep.
Yoo Jung-hyuk breathed. He said nothing more. Kim Dokja waited, heart thundering in his chest, to be sure that Yoo Jung-hyuk had drifted off so he could slip from his hold. But he found his eyes closing of their own accord. Yoo Jung-hyuk was solid and his shoulder was at the perfect height. Between one blink and the next, he fell asleep.